Shabbat shalom. Today's Torah portion is Shemot, and is found in Exodus 1:1 through 6:1. I'll start by reading verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray as we go through this week and read through this portion that you will speak to us and tell us what you want to do through your spirit. And I thank you for your Shabbat, and I pray that we'll be able to enter into your peace. And in your name, amen. This portion covers the first chapter of Exodus, which takes place about 400 years after Joseph and his family and extended family moved to Egypt. I think we all know the story of Moses, but I'll do a quick recap. He was born during a time when all baby boys were being killed in Egypt. This was happening because the new Pharaoh was afraid of the Hebrews' numbers and that Egypt would be overthrown. So not only were Israel slaves, but they were being murdered as well. Even in this mess, the Lord had a plan to free them. Moses would be his instrument. Miraculously, Moses was saved and raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Later, he grew up and saw an Egyptian slave driver beating a Hebrew and murdered him, because he knew he was one of the Hebrews. When he was found out, he fled to Midian and dwelt there as a shepherd. And this is when the Lord acted. In Exodus 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.'" The Lord doesn't always act the way men think he should. Who would imagine making your will known through a bush with combustion issues? This may seem weird or foolish to us, but the Lord knows what he is doing. Everything is done with a purpose, and couldn't be done better. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And remember, the Lord sees the plan as a whole, but we can only see a glimpse of it. Verse 3:4, it says, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" Scripture confirms this later on, but I believe this place was the same spot that the Lord would give his Torah. And even before it physically happened, this spot was holy. This means even before Israel was free, that same spot would be used to send the Lord's messenger. The Lord thinks of every detail. In chapter 3, verse 7 through 10, it says, "And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.'" In verse 7, God says, "I know their sorrow." Isn't it amazing that God, the master of creation, who holds together atoms and galaxies and the entire universe, cares about what's up with you, and he knows exactly what your situation is, how you got into it, and how to fix it. So don't you think he deserves our complete trust? He does not only deserve our trust, but our very lives should belong to him. I know that he can control whether we live or die, but God, for some reason that is beyond me to comprehend, lets us make decisions about what we will and will not do. Yet the Lord knows all things, and he knows exactly what we will choose, because to him, being outside of time, it has already happened. Now, Moses didn't know all this. He didn't know that from before creation, he was to be the one to lead Israel to bondage. In 3:11, he says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" So Moses questioned God, and in Moses' situation, I think I would have doubted too, and maybe even hightailed it out of there. None of us are perfect, and living on faith is hard when we only trust ourselves. But faith is essential to God's plan. All throughout the Bible, we can see times when the entire world depends upon the faith of an individual. But when faith is not enough for us, God gives us a sign. In 3:12 it says, "So he said, 'I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" And God said to Moses, Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.' Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said that I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will need your voice, and they shall come. And then they shall heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now please, let us go 3 days' journey to the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord your God. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And that shall be when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And he shall put them on your sons and your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians.'" Here God explains to Moses what his plan is and what will happen exactly. The Lord knows that Pharaoh won't let them go, even by force or a mighty hand. So God himself will act, and by his right hand, salvation will come to Israel. In the rest of this portion, Moses questions God more and even gets him mad. But Moses goes on faith eventually. And Aaron acts on faith as well, at first, but then later makes a golden cow for Israel to worship. So no matter what situation, no man has had perfect faith or hasn't made mistakes. No man except one. The Lord saw that no man was perfect, and so he God himself would come as a man. Just as God's right hand saves Israel from Egypt, God's right hand came and saved us all from sin and death. But the Lord didn't just free Israel from Egypt. He took them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And he didn't just free us from sin and death, but he will take us to a place with him that is better than we can imagine. I think that is worthy of our faith. In Hebrews 10, 38 through 39, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back in perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul." I hope that we will not draw back, but instead live by faith, not by what we see or know or are sure of, but just believe and hope in the Lord that his way is better than anything we can come up with. Shabbat shalom.